Wonderful song this morning that y'all were leading us, all the music that you led us in this morning. We are in a season. We have come since this past Wednesday. We've come into a season that we call in the life of the church, season of Lent. It's a period of 40 days, not counting Sundays, where we're preparing our hearts, our minds, our souls, or in fact, time of preparation for our lives to come into the Easter celebration. And so as we do that, and as we move closer and closer into the season of Easter, Reverend Robert Mount has had a wonderful idea and has offered to have Holy Communion each week as we mark this time. You might have noticed, you might have seen this, the table that's over to the side. At the end of today's worship service, if you would like to receive Holy Communion, you can come, and you can come over to the altar. We will. It will be at the very end of the worship service, so you can, as we have our dismissal. But if you would like to mark this season and mark this time as in Lent by receiving Holy Communion, that is available to you, and it is ready. I will say this, too, that all the bread is gluten-free, so there's, in fact, as I was reading the label, the bread is gluten-free, it is nut-free, it is dairy-free, so that is the bread that is being offered today. But you're invited, you're welcome to come, and come at your own pace this morning. And once again, I am grateful for the Reverend Robert Mount that is here, that's in our midst, that is willing to do that. I want to invite you into a New Testament scripture reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1, continue through verse 11. This is, in fact, this is the test that I was inviting our children to sort of imagine this morning. You may have learned, if you are anything like me, you may have learned that this is the temptation of Jesus, that is what this story is. But Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1, continuing through verse 11, I invite you to hear these words. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that version. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him up to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And then Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, at verse 8, again the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we recognize not only the power that comes through stories, but Lord, we recognize the power that comes through the living Word of God. Through your Holy Scriptures, you have reminded us, and Lord, at times, and sometimes overwhelmingly in our lives, we have discovered that these words are able to penetrate our very hearts and our very souls. Lord, we pray and ask that you will let us, in our own openness to you today, let us be bold enough, Lord, to invite your words to come into our lives. Let us be courageous enough, Lord, to not only hear these words as they are spoken, but let us be courageous enough, O God, to let them truly change our lives. Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken to me. And I pray and ask, Lord, that as I speak this morning, that the words that I say, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And Lord, May all of our hearts be filled with the power of your Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the one who saves us that we pray. Amen. You know, when I first, this morning, when I first took out my notes and began to, read the scripture reading that I've just read for you this morning, but began to start into the notes that I'd written down like this, there was thunder and lightning, and it was a very appropriate moment for reading about the testing and the temptation of Jesus like that. And I wondered to myself, I said, well, would that be possible that as we gathered for worship, could I have that? Could I have the thunder and the lightning that would join me? And so you see that I cannot have that. I did not have that. But I will say this, I will say that as I was reading through these words and as I was praying through these words like that, there are a whole lot of people. In fact, there's more and more people that I've met, even just recently. There's a conversation, a brief conversation, just in passing, about someone that said, I retired. Wasn't something that I wanted to do, but my job was outsourced, and I found that out in January. And then this is just a few months into January, but there are more and more people. This is just a few months after January, but there are more and more people that feel like they are being tested beyond what they are capable of right now. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just one of those things that me as a preacher that I'm finding, but I imagine that maybe you have some people and some friends and some family folks that are going through some places right now and some situations where it says that, that this is just beyond me. People who will be willing to leave everything behind if it meant that they could have a better life, if it meant that they could have a better pathway to a different life than what they, what they're living now. Just imagine those 12 disciples that Jesus calls, asking them to leave everything behind and follow Jesus throughout the Mediterranean world. It seems to be that there is an appetite for that if it means I could get away, or I could get out from under, or I could have and start something that is well beyond what I'm facing right now. And I mean, what is your experience? Beyond just the conversations that we have with other people, but what's your experience with God when you are being tested? Does God seem in the test? Not before it starts, not after you're finished, but in the test or in the temptation, does it seem that God is closer to you, or does it seem that God is more distant? What about God's love? A thing that our children just a few weeks ago reminded us that we sing about often. What about God's love? Does it seem like it flourishes in the test, or does it seem like it dries up? Or what about you? Do you lean in toward God in the middle of the test, or do you pull away? It's almost as our children were there, and as they were kneeling at the altar and talking about tests and those paper and pencil tests, as much as we dreaded those as children, sometimes those were a whole lot easier than the tests that we face as adults, weren't they? And what about those moments that really you are tested? Matthew captures this picture of Jesus that is at the end of a period of fasting. You can imagine that in our own season of Lent, this is the moment after Easter. It is the moment that as we have come and as we came on Ash Wednesday and had those ashes that were smeared and smudged on our foreheads, and as we committed ourselves that we are going to keep a holy Lent, but also with that reminder that we are dust and to dust that we shall return. But as we committed ourselves and said that we are going to keep a holy Lent, that we are going to draw closer to God, this would be for Jesus, well, it would be after those 40 days. It's 40 days of fasting and prayer, a moment that, if you will, and this is one of those helpful places that Matthew captures for us, a moment that Jesus, in fact, was driven into the wilderness by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit that drives him into the wilderness to spend time in prayer, to spend time in fasting, to spend time drawing closer to God. And it's at the end of that vulnerable and famished. It's then that he is tested by the devil. He is tested by Satan. He is tested by pure evil. Alone in the wilderness and by himself is when the devil, the tempter, the devil comes to Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, the devil says, command these stones to become bread. And a test that is hard enough when you're hungry. Also a test that is hard enough when you're wanting something to eat. But this test was more than just the hunger. It was more than the bread and the rocks that the devil was placing in front of Jesus. But it was a test about Jesus and, well, who Jesus is in this moment. A moment hungry. A moment famished, a moment after spending this time seeking God, seeking the presence of God on this earth. It's a moment when the devil says, are you Jesus? Are you who you think you are? Are you, the devil asks, who people are beginning to wonder, are you really that Son of God? You see, this test that comes to Jesus, this temptation that comes to Jesus, is all about Jesus' identity. It's all really significant, life-changing tests and, well, those temptations that come to us, as they really all are. Not only for Jesus, but for us as well. That bring us into places where we begin to question our own identities and really who we are in this moment. Are you who you think you are? Are you who God has called you to be? Not who you have been. Not who you are going to be after the end of this time. But in this moment of testing, in this moment of temptation, are you? Are you who you say you are? And when you're tempted, when you're tested, who do you find yourself becoming? Who do you find yourself in that moment? Well, for Jesus, he will quickly rely on Scripture. He'll lean on his Scripture. It is God's Word where Jesus says, it is God's Word where I find my identity, Jesus will say. It's not bread alone. It's not bread alone that is going to sustain me in this test. It's not bread alone that is going to sustain me in this temptation, but it is the very Word of God, as Jesus says, much better than I just said it. But he says, for it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's here that the devil then invites Jesus. It's here that Satan then invites Jesus. It's here that the test does it all automatically, instantly become solved, but there is another test. There is another temptation that comes to Jesus. It's here that the devil then invites Jesus to look. A unique vantage point to see from the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you are again, the devil asks him, if you're the Son of God, if you're who you say that you are, then throw yourself down. And this time, did you notice this? And this time, the devil uses Scripture. Then throw yourself down from here if you are who you say you are. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Well, it is written, Scripture. He will command angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off of it. Harm yourself, wound yourself. Even kill yourself, Jesus, the devil says. Notice how outrageous it all sounds here in this moment. That the devil, using Scripture, would say, well, you can really harm yourself. You can really kill yourself because it is written in the Holy Scriptures that you have just used, these Holy Scriptures have said that again. If you throw yourself down, angels will surround you. Angels will come to you. and you will not dash your foot against a stone. And again, as outrageous as it sounds in this moment, when we're here protected from the rain and the thunder and the lightning that is not existing right now, but protected from all of those things, when we find the safety that we're able to stand in this place and really find those places where we are not as tested or tempted as we are, as outrageous as it sounds here, what about in moments of temptations? What about in moments of testing in our own lives? How do they sound when we are being tested? To live by the word of God, as Jesus says, every word that comes out of God's mouth, well, it means that we're going to have to be discerning. It means that we're going to have to be very discerning, knowing how that word of God, knowing how those words of Scripture can sound in the midst of moments when we are being tested, in the midst of moments when we are being tempted. Again, Jesus will say, as the devil has just said, again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But it's still not over. After 40 days fasting, 40 days of being famished. Again, the devil takes Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, all their glory, and said to him, all these that I will give you if you fall down and worship me. All of these that I will give you. And in the midst of that testing and in the midst of those temptations and the midst of that kind of distortion that can happen even with God's holy word, how much can we fantasize about what it would be like if we can just get out of this test? How much can we begin to paint that picture and that fantasy of the kind of different life that we would have, the kind of different experiences that we would have if we could just get over this one temptation, if we could just get over this one moment, what would it look like? Imagine all the kingdoms. Imagine all the riches. If we could just get past this moment, I would do anything to get out of this moment. And this is where Jesus is explicitly clear that as much as that fantasy may capture our imaginations, as much as those visions of grandeur may come into our lives, Jesus says to the devil and to Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then Matthew once again captures that moment after Jesus says this, of the devil leaving him, and suddenly angels coming to him and waiting on him. And as succinct as this story is, as straightforward as this story is, and even as well known as the temptation of Jesus is, the promise continues to hold for all of us. That in moments of testing, in moments of temptation, that as we move through these moments, angels do come to us. Angels do come to us. They wait on us. They capture us. They minister to us and they provide for us. And yet, none of us can be beyond our own, none of us can be beyond those places in our own lives where even the very good, taking a time as is the best of intentions and the holiest of Lent, that as we commit ourselves to God, none of us can be beyond this, of knowing that even in moments that are good, moments when we do, well, with all of our hearts and with all of our souls, come and worship together. In moments where we do commit ourselves and say, God, I recognize that my life is not my own. I recognize that I am dust and that I will return to dust again one day. But even in moments of preparing that beautiful celebration of Easter, that none of us can overlook, that it's in moments like that all of us can be tested. Every single one of us can be tempted. And it is not who we are before the temptation. It's not who we are after the test. But it is the lives that we live in the middle of temptations. It is the responses that we give in the middle of testing. It is our own ideas about who we are and who we should be that get brought to the surface. It is our moments of like what we really are going to rely on and how discerning we may need to look and to understand these stories that seem so well known to us, and also that in the midst of our own imaginations creating how different it would be if we just gave ourselves up in this moment. How different could it be if we just, for just one moment, for just one test, for just one temptation, just cast God aside. Just one time. Just to do what we have to do. Every single one of us are vulnerable to that. Every single one of us are vulnerable to those tests and those temptations. And we are surrounded by people who have no idea how vulnerable they are. And surrounded by people who are hurting every single day. That are in the midst of these places that they have no idea about. And so not only do our own temptations and not only do our own tests form our own identities and form our own selves and form us as followers of Jesus Christ, they're an extraordinarily powerful witness to a world that is often dying to hear how to get through this. As Jesus has reminded us, Lord, deliver us from all evil. Lead us not into temptation. Thanks be to God that when we are tempted, that when we are tested, that we do know that God is with us even in those moments. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the moments that you have saved us. We thank you for the moments, oh God, that you have just walked with us. We thank you that as we continue through this season of Lent, we ask you that you may, well, once again, create in us new and clean hearts, and that you will prepare us for every test and equip us for every temptation that we may face. And in those that blindside us, and those that completely sweep us off our feet, Lord, we pray for your mercy. We pray for your grace. Lord, for those who are suffering in this moment, for those who find themselves caught up in the midst of testings and temptations that are beyond, well, beyond anything that any of us could imagine, we ask your grace and your mercy. We ask for the very presence of Jesus to be with them, holding them, and Lord, effectively transforming their lives. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.